congregation. I invite you to reach for your worship bulletin. And if you would, go ahead and turn to the back cover. There you'll find a place for you to take sermon notes. There's also some sermon take-home reflections that I pray will be a blessing to you as you process and meditate upon this word that God will ultimately share with us this week. Because I trust that God will lay something on your heart and mind today, as well as on mine, that he wants us to take and apply this week as followers of our Lord Jesus. With that said, at this time, what I'd like to do is I'd like to invite you to turn your attention to the screens up front for today's introductory sermon video. Let's take a look.
After Jesus died on the cross, the Roman soldiers took him down and gave him over to two men, one of them a Jewish leader who secretly followed Jesus. They prepared his body for burial by wrapping his body in strips of linen. Then they placed Jesus in a tomb. Because they worried that someone might steal his body, the Romans placed a huge stone in front of the tomb and guards outside of it. Then, the next day, Jesus' mother and a follower of Jesus named Mary went to visit the tomb of Jesus. Just as they had arrived, a huge earthquake shook the ground, and an angel came down from heaven and rolled back the stone from in front of the tomb and sat on it. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. Jesus is not here. He is risen." So the women ran to tell Jesus' closest followers what they had heard. When they heard the news, Jesus' disciples, John and Peter, ran to the tomb to see for themselves. There, they found only the strips of linen that Jesus' body had been wrapped in. Mary, the follower of Jesus, stood outside the tomb crying. All of a sudden, a man appeared to her. She thought it was the gardener, but when he said her name, Mary, she realized it was Jesus. He was alive. This was the first of many times that Jesus appeared to his friends and followers. At one point, he even invited them to touch the nail scars in his hands so they would believe he was really alive. Not only did they believe that Jesus was alive, but many of them believed that he was the long-awaited Messiah, the one God had promised for years and years. But Jesus let them know that the story was not over yet. "Go and make disciples," Jesus told his followers. He commanded them to go throughout all the world to help others know about him and how to live in God's ways. This began an adventure that would change the lives of Jesus' followers forever and change the world.
So here's a question to get your minds thinking this morning. What do high heels have to do with Easter morning sunrise service? Where's this sermon going, Pastor Seth, right? A friend of mine, a fellow pastor, tells a story about a congregation. So the congregation was getting ready for Easter morning sunrise service. And what you need to know is that the choir for this congregation had been practicing, preparing for the processional song for months. So that as the service started, the choir could proceed in and help cultivate a heart of worship to kick things off. The timing of this choir with the step and the song was such that everybody had to be at the right place, right time. Once it started, there was no stop in the train. The processional had to keep cruising. Well, off to the side is a family. And what you need to know is there's this little girl who had come to expect that there is nothing to be taken from worship service. In fact, her attitude was this: every time we go to worship, God is not there. Jesus is not there. So why are we going? Things are about to change for this little girl, her family, and for the congregation. The service kicks off, and the processional starts, and the choir continues to flow in, singing their hymn that they've been practicing and working. Every step, every motion, every word timed just right. Well, wouldn't you know, one of the ladies happened to be wearing a particular pair of shoes that morning, high heels to be exact, and right as she's making her way into the opening portion of the sanctuary, we'll call it, she happens to step over a grate in the floor. And wouldn't you know, her heel gets stuck. Now keep in mind, the processional must go on. The choir must keep moving. There is no stopping. So she pulls and she tugs at her leg, at her shoe. Her foot comes out. The shoe stays. So she keeps hobbling her way towards the front of the altar area, the chancel area. The guy behind her, who's trying to simultaneously and multitask, sees the shoe, sees the words, reaches down for the shoe as he's passing by, pulls up the shoe, pulls up the grate, and keeps on walking. The guy behind him is so focused on his music, he completely misses the big opening in the floor. And wouldn't you know, as he's walking, down he goes, out of sight, out of mind, right into a little crawl space that's used for attendance and maintenance with the HVAC system. Now, once again, all this is going on, and the choirs are marching away, and the song is coming out. And over here is this family with this little girl who's missed most of the show. But then all of a sudden, there comes this rumbling, and there's this movement from beneath the floor in the crawl space. And all of a sudden, from out of this hole in the floor, comes this big booming voice that says, "Watch out, y'all, here I come." This grabs the little girl's attention. And at this point, she looks over, and with excitement, she runs over and watches this guy emerge out. And to everybody in earshot, she begins to exclaim, "Look, everybody, Jesus is risen. He's here." Hallelujah and amen. The question could have been asked before and during and maybe after, what did you expect? If you were to ask that little girl prior to the start of service, her answer would have been this: "I'm going to go to this place, we're going to sing some songs, and I'm not quite sure if I'm going to get any interaction with Jesus or not." What did you expect? That same question might very well be asked of one of the folks we heard about in our gospel reading this morning, a woman by the name of Mary Magdalene. And what you need to understand is Mary Magdalene has had an encounter with Jesus before. In fact, the scriptures tell us that Mary herself was under some heavy spiritual warfare in her life, some demon possession. And the gospel writers share with us that when she came in contact with Jesus, Jesus provided freedom and set her life on a brand new course. And from that point forward, she became a Christ follower, following him wherever he went, following him in his ministry, his teachings, his feedings, his healings, following him to the cross. So we come to find then that Mary is one of the cast and crew, if you will, that shows up post-crucifixion. And John records this for us in chapter 20 of his gospel. Let me share this with you. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." The question could be asked, Mary, what did you expect when you went to the tomb that morning? If you are with us in our adult Bible class this morning, and I encourage you to be a part of that as we continue to grow as disciples and followers of our Lord Jesus, Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock, we talked about this, and we said, this Mary is expecting to see what? A dead Jesus. You see, in her mind, even though Jesus has reminded her and the disciples time and time again, Jesus doesn't stop at the cross or the tomb. Jesus comes out. But somehow, some part of that has been missed. So now Mary comes to this tomb, and what is she expecting? She's expecting to find what you find in tombs. A dead Jesus. A body. Lifeless. And I can't help but wonder, too, if there's a part of her that's expecting maybe just a little more brokenness. Maybe just a little more uncertainty. Maybe just a little more lack of clarity to the situation that she's currently finding herself in. Well, John records a little bit later, she comes back to the tomb, and we heard this from our video this morning, didn't we? John picks this up for us in John 20, verse 11. Mary returns. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabbani," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Now, once again, prior to the encounter with Jesus, the answer to this question looks a lot different than when Jesus is in the picture, doesn't it? Prior to Jesus, the situation is confusing. There's a lot of doubt. There's a lot of hurt. And if I could put it this way, there's a lot of brokenness. And maybe as you think back to your week this week, maybe you find there's been places this week that you've experienced some of those same emotions. Confusion, uncertainty, brokenness. A question of if there's any hope at all out there. But that's where Jesus steps in, doesn't he? And what we see is when Jesus steps into the picture for Mary, it's a much different situation. And when she leaves that situation, the answer to this question looks a lot different. What did you expect? Or maybe what did you get to take away? And the answer is this: hope. Resurrection hope. That we don't follow a Jesus who's just a good guy, just a good teacher, just a guy in an ever-growing lineup of good people to follow. But he's the Son of God who gives his life on the cross, dies, and rises again for you and for me, for the forgiveness of our sins. So Mary gets to leave with something much, much different than this. A point of finality. She gets resurrection hope. Let me tell you about John. And don't wonder who this is. It's nobody here in the congregation, so don't feel inclined to look around. Who is this guy? It's nobody from this area. Pastor friend of mine tells a story. He says, John grew up with a lot of brokenness in his household. In fact, both of his parents were in and out of jail quite often, and that left John in a pretty tough place. John moved from house to house, foster care to foster care, family to family, city to city, and so forth. No time at all, John himself found himself on the streets, struggling with drugs and a lot of other tough stuff. One day, a Christ follower like you and me comes up to John and he says, "There's someone you need to talk to. There's this pastor, there's this Christ follower that you need to connect with." And before this conversation situation takes place, John is wrestling with the answer to that question of what do you expect or what can I expect out of this? See, his whole life, there's been a lot of brokenness, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of confusion, a lot of, if I could put it this way, a lot of hopelessness. A lot of people who promised him a lot of stuff but didn't follow through with it, couldn't follow through with it. So during this prison conversation, John and this pastor are having a conversation, and once again, it's pointed back to Jesus and the hope that you and I have because of his death and resurrection, that our baggage does not define us. That the brokenness in our lives does not define us. That because of who Jesus is, we have a hope worth living for, and we have a hope that's worth sharing every day. John, what did you expect when you walked in here? And his answer would have been this: "Well, I expected to hear probably some good stuff, kind of focus on this, read this, and call it good." When the conversation took a turn and it focused on Jesus, it was a game changer. And as the pastor and John talked about the resurrection and that Jesus lives, His response was this. This changes everything, doesn't it? Jesus' death and resurrection changes everything for you and for me. We are not defined by the baggage we carry. We are not defined by the struggles we face. We are not shackled to things of this world, but we are given access to an eternal hope that's secure for you and for me through our Lord Jesus. Jesus' resurrection changes everything. This morning, I'd just like to maybe take a moment to pause and ask this question. Which of these situations did you resonate with this morning? Maybe you find yourself in this place where you're like the little girl, and you're here this morning, and you're maybe not expecting much. But then maybe something popped out in a place or in a way you didn't expect, and now your focus and your heart are on the resurrected Christ. Maybe you resonate with Mary Magdalene, who you knew some things about Jesus, and maybe you heard some things about Jesus a while ago, or maybe somebody told you something about Jesus, and you had to come and see it for yourself, and maybe your expectations were low. But then God in his grace, the work in the Holy Spirit, comes to you and to me today, looks you square in the eye and says, I have hope for you. Mind blown. Maybe you resonate with John's story. Maybe some things have happened in your life. Some things that just seem inescapable. Or maybe you're in a situation or a season of life where you feel defined by whatever it is. But then God in his grace comes to you and to me in the strength of a promise this morning and says, whatever that is, that does not define your life. What defines your life is that I call you friend. That I've died for you, I have risen for you, and I am with you right in that season. Or maybe we come to find that there's parts of all three of these stories that we resonate with this morning. My question to you as we leave today is this. Where is God calling you to live out your resurrection hope this week? As you think about the people in your life, maybe your family members, your friends, your coworkers, the people at school, who is God calling you to share your resurrection hope with? To help lift them above just the, maybe kind of the black and white, the gray, the confusing, the lack of interest or hope. Maybe God's calling you to go to somebody who's not really expecting much out of the church, out of Christians, or out of Jesus. God's calling you to lift them up. Maybe God's calling you to go to the John, the person in your life, who feels so defined by what's happened in their life, they can't see past tomorrow. Who is God calling you to share your resurrection hope with this week? Pray that God would lay the answer to that question on our hearts and our minds this week, and when he opens that door, rolls away that stone, let's move. In Jesus' name, amen. This time in our service, I invite you to stand as we continue with our confession of faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.